This is EdTech Weekly. In today's episode, Microsoft makes school fun, there's a $99 Kindle for kids, and a Florida school district is spying on its students. Oh, Florida. How you disappoint us. I think we need to hire like a new public relations firm maybe for Florida.
I think they need to hire one at all.
Just one would be good, yeah. And we'll have a larger discussion today about how learning has sort of evolved in this age of information overload. But let's start by saying, Matt, that, you know, we have been mentioning, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a few times, you know we've been talking about a website and we've been talking about Reddit. Well, we do have a website up. It's edtechweeklyshow.com. We're going to be posting the show links and everything there. We'll be adding some functionality to that as we go. We also have a Reddit up. It is, Matt, can you tell them how to get there?
You go to Reddit, and then I need to find the link really, really quickly. Well, uno momento, por favor, and por favorinas, it is r/EdTechWeekly. And that's where you can find all of the useful information and all of those things that we'll be bringing to you weekly in chronicled fashion. And anything that you ever find that you wish that you would like for us to talk about, please post it in there, and we'll take a glaring eye and sleuth our way through the stories to find the nuggets of perfection.
Matt, so perfectly said. Let's get on to the headlines. TechCrunch reports that Amazon is coming out with a Kindle e-reader bundle for kids just in time for summer. It includes a cover and a warranty, all for $99. It's a pretty good price point. You think this will get parents or schools interested in purchasing an e-reader?
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of those products that at that price point and with a warranty and a cover, I mean, it's not the most perfect product out there, but it's probably as close as we're going to see for a while. And it really is just going to get kids more and more interactive with reading. And with more and more of a product like this being built, what's going to end up happening is you're going to start seeing, you know, this type of technology being used, the e-readers, in more color fashion and, you know, making them more interactive for kids. Because it's a whole, I mean, I really love the e-ink display. I think it's probably one of the coolest things out there. And they use such a small amount of power.
Yeah, I know that one of the e-reader, e-ink displays that's kind of been popular in some of the recent tech news is with the new Pebble Watch that's coming out. You know, the battery life is awesome. They're able to get some colors in there as well, like you said. For me, I prefer an e-reader to a tablet. When I read, I want to focus on reading. I don't want to have any other distractions. I don't want to get text messages coming through. I know that's not everybody, and I think for that reason, this is a highly personal thing. Some people I've talked to really enjoy reading from a tablet with the color screen, the backlighting. It's just not my thing. But I think it's a way for, especially a fairly inexpensive way for $99 with that warranty in the cover, to get students and your children or whoever you're buying this for more interested in reading, you know, an easier way for them to sort of interact with that. And I think,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, no, it's. I think that's the price point that things like this need to be at, and where this is going to succeed is where it brings the functionality. Amazon has a huge amount of books that can work with this. There's a browser that's built into it. It really hits on all of those things that were messed up when, you know, the lower-end Android tablets came in for like $99. They didn't have the battery life. They didn't have the suite of products that could be used with it. They didn't have a back catalog of anything you could interact with.
Yeah, when you're getting the Amazon catalog, you're really getting a very extensive amount of books, especially for the e-reader. And I think $99, sadly or not, is that price point where everyone goes, yeah, I could probably drop $99 on something and see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Next story, Microsoft is at it again. They've released another promo video, but this time it's about their Surface 3, and it apparently makes kids behave and have fun in school. Are you buying what Microsoft is selling here, Matt?
No.
Why not?
Well, I guess for all the reasons I like Amazon's new product, you know, a tiny little e-reading tablet that's supposed to sort of get kids into a certain aspect of school, and having them focus in on something like this, Microsoft has built a product that is meant to now do everything, and now it's changing children's behaviors, which is bananas to me.
Yeah, I mean, clearly in a promotional video that they're advertising, they don't want to show kids all over the place acting crazy. In education, if you work in education, you know that that sometimes is all too common. But, you know, we get into that point, and we've discussed this numerous times in the show, where is this new cool piece of technology that's neat and fun and interesting to look at, is that what's going to save education?
I don't think that there's going to be any one thing that saves education. I think education on its own merits is what needs to help it succeed. Having a cool or fun piece of technology makes you spend a bunch of money on a fun, cool piece of technology that's going to last you about 2 or 3 years. I mean, if all of this money is being spent into disposable, cool and fun factor pieces of technology, then I think that is in itself probably damaging evidence of where education is and those leaders that are making decisions for education.
Yeah, it becomes a shiny toy that I think some of the leaders in education are able to show to the masses and say, look what we're buying with this money that you've helped us, you know, get. And I think almost any teacher, right, and I think we've said this before, but if you give them a great piece of technology, if they've got sound pedagogy and their teaching skills are awesome, they're going to use it and it's going to work. But there's a point of where, how much money are we spending here? The Surface is not a cheap device. The iPad is not a cheap device. These type of things that we're putting, like you said, we're putting all this money in these disposable things that, and I think especially in terms of the Surface and the iPad, these have a very short shelf life. And kids are going to be interested in it for about as long as it takes them to figure out, oh yeah, this is stuff I can do now and I know it's not new anymore. As soon as it's not new anymore, you better have something behind it to push it. Because that's all there is really when it comes to education. You have to have something, there's got to be substance behind it, always. Doesn't matter, you know, you see some of these maker spaces that people are doing in libraries now with 3D printers. That's all great, but if you don't have something to hook students in and make them want to participate in it, it's only going to last a very short amount of time. Once that, you know, new car smell, so to speak, wears off, what's left? You know, so it's got to be substance.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they sure look fun based on the ads, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I almost made a terrible comparison.
Well, I'm glad you stopped yourself.
Yeah.
Here we go. Another story from CNET talks about how a Florida school district is spying on their students' social media posts. Oh, this seems just like disaster to me, Matt. The claimed intent is to help stop issues earlier before they become big issues. It almost feels a little too much like, hey, if you can save one kid from a problem, who cares about personal privacy? A lot of issues here, Matt. If the students aren't creating a private account and it's public, is it really spying at all? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that to me, it's like that you're, it is spying. It's sort of almost dirty, I feel like, in a way. You know, somebody's got a public profile. If you have no reason to see it other than because you want to see if there's what bad things are happening, to me, you got to stay out of that. That's not your position. If, you know, if somebody brings it to your attention that something on social media is happening, bullying and all that stuff, now you go, now you check because it's public, you can see, and now you deal with it. It really scares me because how are they deciding what they read that makes them need to take action and call a kid in and suspend them or whatever? How is that being decided? I don't know that they say in the. I didn't see it in the article, and that just scares me a little bit because how are you going to impose school-based punishment on things that they're saying in social media that's not even during school hours? I mean, it could be during school hours, of course, but it just seems like a dangerous combination to blend these two worlds together more than they already are, don't you think?
Yes, and I think, I mean, anything that, if I were to post something on Twitter, it's chronicled and somebody's able to take information from that post and then use it against all of my other posts and then use it, demographic information and all that jazz. And we seem to be okay with it when it comes to advertising. But when it comes to spying and something like this that can affect a child's life or the parents, can get into huge philosophical discussions about what type of society we're actually living in based on that. But it really does cross the line because we're no longer looking at the child. We're looking at snapshots of what's happening throughout the day. And if I send you a text and you deem it as unsavory because I said something, you know.
Which is about 99% of your texts, by the way. 99%, yeah.
Well, all caps is hard.
Yes.
But if I send you something, it's just a snapshot of what's happened right at that point. There is no... We don't understand the relativism for the rest of the day. What happened? You know, is the student really upset? Are they joking with another friend? Or are they just tweeting out loud, I'm having a great time, everybody. look at all this stuff that I'm doing that's illegal. And they're not actually doing any of it. They're sitting in their house and they're watching, you know, TV. It's a snapshot and it's not the best of light. And if we're going to start using that against students or anybody in our society, it's too far.
Yeah, and it's not even just that they're monitoring it, but they've literally signed up, you know, paying for a service called SnapTrends. It's some sort of a location-based social media discovery, so I think it's based on where these things are happening, so I guess they target the school area. I don't really know exactly how it all works, but it sounds as though this is it's a little too proactive to me. It's just a little too much. I mean, I don't mind the concept of, you know, if there's the student that there's some rumors on that's doing some nefarious stuff, okay, maybe we look into that a little bit. But, you know, coming up and paying for a service to monitor and track this stuff, man, it's just a little too much, I think, for education to be getting involved in here.
Absolutely. It's too far. And to the company that made the product, I'm sure that they were able to really pull at some heartstrings in order to get people to buy it. But
yeah, well, all I have to say about this article is yay, Florida. Once again, disappointment in the news, in my opinion.
It's okay. We still have the subreddit Florida Man. We're going to turn it around one day.
That's true. We're going to make it happen. We're changing it. All right, our final story, and this is also going to be our tip of the day because it really is it's a huge topic. It's an article from TechCrunch, and they posted that basically helps us attempt to understand how we can get people to learn more effectively in this digital age. The amount of information out there, Matt, that is being put online on a daily basis is just staggering. I saw something recently that said, you know, I forget exactly, so don't quote me on this, but something like every day we're creating the amount of information that the history of humans up until about 2002 created throughout that whole time. And we're doing that in like a day now. So it's just an unbelievable amount of information out there. And do we feel like they intimate in this article that possibly students are just, they're overwhelmed with all this and they don't even really care to know all of it. Do you think this information overload is having an adverse effect on education?
I think it's having an effect. I can't say that I actually think that it's an adverse one. And here's why. It's probably going to sound crazy.
Well, just go ahead. Have fun with it.
You're going to have a lot of information that's out there and you're going to have kids that are actually information processors, and I think we've always had that subsection of society that's always just taken information and processed it out and then reworded it a little bit. But you're always going to have those kids that are developing real live thinking skills. And if you look at our earlier podcast, we do talk about a lot of students that learn from playing Nintendo games or, you know, the robot that came with the original NES, you know, using stuff like that, solving problems and stuff like that. We're always going to have that out there. I can't say as society that we need to have as much, you know, the depth of information that we have coming out all the time. The fact that it cannot be vetted properly all of the time, I think is a huge, huge, huge problem. But I think our best and our brightest are going to be the ones that are able to shovel through all of it and come up with new ideas and ways of solving problems.
Yeah, I agree with that, Matt. You know, I think that there's a lot of stuff gets put on this where you're thinking, okay, this is going to be bad for us. And I agree with you. I really think that you're still looking at a group of people in this world that you're going to have people that just process it, just learn a little factoids about stuff and sound smart maybe or make comments and can have little conversations. But you're also going to have people that are engage it even more so. Like you mentioned with that video game thing, there's going to be a lot of people who play video games that never, ever make their own video game. But that doesn't mean that the people who are creating games because of that are diminished, or that the people who are just doing it for fun are somehow diminished either. I mean, I think when you look into learning things, you're trying to spark interest. You're trying to see, hey, is that something that I feel like I want to know more about? And that's where I think education is so important. It's as we get to that point, how do we show students how to engage the material more deeply? I think it's a great thing that there's a lot of information out there. Being the fact that it's not vetted and that you can get incorrect information, that's just another step in the process that educators have to help their students understand. How do you know if it's a reputable source? What website is it? I see so often on social media people posting articles from clearly non-fact-based websites that just post these stories, this trash that is not accurate, but they know people are just going to share it because they can't believe it's true. I can't believe it's true. And you see that even in posts. Hard to believe this is true, but it's not true. That's why. So I think there's two steps to that process. Like you mentioned, we got to let them know, is this factual information? How do you know if it is? And then from there, how do you engage with this information and find out how to actually educate yourself and or be educated on that subject so that you can get to deeper learning? I mean, I think I can't see how more information is a bad thing, except that part where you have to figure out and navigate, is this legitimate or is this nonsense?
No, you're absolutely correct. And I think that's the bigger and more important skill that needs to be honed with a lot of kids, and that's where education comes into play. But I think that those problems have always existed. I mean, as a society, we're constantly growing and developing new things, and we have to learn how to navigate those waters.
Yeah, how different is it from in the 1950s, you go pick up an encyclopedia and you start looking through articles and you gain a very, very limited amount of knowledge about a subject. You might be able to talk about it and use words, and you might sound like you know what you're talking about, but there's no depth to be had there. Like, if you want to learn more about those things you're looking at in an encyclopedia, you've got to get to the material, get to the people who have researched, who have written books that are scholarly books on that topic, or go to college or go to school and learn more about those things. I don't see it as any different, honestly. The only difference, and we get back to it again, is just it's just way too easy for people to put information out there. We're a prime example. We're putting information out there right now. We're putting it on our website. We're putting information. Somebody stumbles across our place, that we're adding to that amount of information right now. As soon as I send this out and put it out to the podcast world, we're adding this information. Now, people have to be able to listen to this and decide intelligently, are these two guys crazy or do they have some good points? And maybe could be both. But at least we need to kind of point our students, I think, in that direction of, how do you decide, is this relevant and is this accurate information?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad we agree. You know, we often agree. Matt, we're going to have to maybe start a new segment in the show where we just have complete opposite opinions and just go at each other. I think the listener, I don't know. But whoever's out there, I think they would enjoy that.
Well, I think if we have more dramatic music and I'm allowed to actually practice my love for fire breathing...
It's a tough medium to show that, but I guess we could get into some
video. I think you are very artful with the language.
Yeah, I could explain it as...
I do.
He just...
You could talk about how his esophagus just started collapsing in on itself. Maybe fire breathing wasn't such a great idea, Matt.
Well, that just got a little dark, but that's okay. Matt, we did it again. Again, a lot of doubters. People say that we're not going to be able to do it, but we're going to continue to do it. And we're actually going to try our best as we move forward here to put these podcasts out on Sunday night, so that it's a little more consistent, a little more regular. We had a little bit of time off. You know, Matt and I have both been pretty busy, but we're trying to figure out a way to make that work in the schedule. If you want to give us some suggestions, go to our Reddit, r/EdTechWeekly on the subreddit. Interact with the show. And then website, edtechweeklyshow.com, and email us right now. This email will change, but if you're listening to this show, it'll still be active. edtechweekly@gmail.com. Email the show. Let us know how we can improve. We want to start interacting with you guys so we can really make the show better and more valuable for you as well. Matt, thanks again. Any last words?
No, as always, good sir. Always enjoyable.
You're flounced.
I love you, man.
Hey, feeling is mostly mutual.
Ah, there we are.
We'll see you next time.
We're back.
We'll see you next time on EdTech Weekly.